This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Yeah, except everyone except me. No, it's cool because when you're 6'4" in Hollywood, you start, you know, somebody's calling. Oh. Should I answer? No.
It's supposed to be on data.
Weird.
You were saying?
I was saying as an this is the wrong one.
Oh, it's on.
There you go. Everybody good? All right. As an actor in Hollywood who's 6'4", you start creating these sort of patterns of movement to be on the same eyeline with your co-stars, and you start, you know, hunching over and leaning over and talking like this to somebody. And I had that conversation with Kevin, because when we started working together, all of a sudden I could stand up straight and look him in the eye, and there was no, you know, bending over and being crooked and weird and stuff.
When did you first find out that you're going to be back in the fifth one, you know? We're in the fifth.
Well, I guess, 2 years ago when I read the script and I found out I didn't die. That was pretty clear then.
Yes. Well, this movie seems to be playing with a lot of duality. There are characters who aren't who they say they are. There's characters who have come back from the grave.
Clones.
Clones. Now, your character disappeared for a little bit of time at the end of Resident Evil, the last one. Yeah. So are you who you say you are in this one?
I have no idea. I really don't know. Paul's imagination is amazing. He's like a kid in a candy store. Every script to him is like a new adventure. And it shows on the screen. So as an actor being invited on his playground, so to speak, is an honor. And this is literally one of the franchises, one of the movies that is the most fun to shoot, because not only is the cast amazing and fun to work with, Paul's energy sort of transcends and it translates down to everybody else on the set. So it's like, it's not really work. It's like really playing every day. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And your character is a basketball player, as he was established, and he got to have a little hang time by capturing that play. And you get
that's right.
That one moment where he jumps up in the
yep,
air.
Yep.
Any moments like that?
Actually, this movie is going to be much more action-oriented than the last one. There's a lot of great fight sequences that we've shot so far. The next 8-9 days, we're just going to be fighting. So, you know, he got Nick Powell on board, who's probably the best stunt coordinator on the planet. He's done like everything from Last Samurai to Gladiator to Braveheart, and he's incredible. So him and Paul together is like a lethal combination. So I'm so sore I can hardly move. It's
what kind of fighting is it?
It's sort of a mixture of Krav Maga, kickboxing, Muay Thai. There's a lot of kicks and just fast moves. I fight like 8 different guys at one time, and Mila's fight. She has 2 different fight scenes that are just ridiculous. Like literally, I mean, they're like 12 minutes apiece or something.
So there's a lot less gunplay than a
There's a lot of gunplay still. I mean, the gunplay is incorporated in the fight scenes. You know, you're dealing with a new generation of zombies that have like mutated and are like harder to kill now. So it's not just the gunshot that's necessary, but way more.
Can you talk about the guns a little bit?
Oh man, it's like I'm not an expert, but they're all like, you can hold them like this, and they go, ka 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 ka. So, you know, like those kind of guns. And then you got guns. Yep, and you got guns that go, and you got guns, you put them on your shoulder, and they take out a whole city block. And I mean, everything. It's unbelievable. I mean, did Mila talk to you about the chase scene?
Oh, yeah.
In the car?
Wow.
Incredible. I mean, I don't think that's ever been done on
Who's
screen
being
before.
In that scene?
We're being chased.
By you and Mila.
Me and Mila and Johan and Kevin. We're all in the car together. We spent like 5 days in the car together.
This is the Rolls Royce thing.
Exactly, and that is just unbelievable. And you know, they all come in after us. This whole army of undead, you know, motorized now and lethal with like these creatures. It's just. It's amazing. And Paul, you know, he literally shot that movie. He animated it and he finished it. So every frame of the movie has already been produced, and so we can actually watch what we're doing before we're doing it. And this is just the second time that I've worked like this. When I was shooting Undercovers with JJ, he had the same animated sort of storyboarding. He has these couple of geeks in his office who do that, and it's incredible. You can literally release that as an animated movie, and it looks fantastic.
Now, when you talk about the car chase sequence, you guys did it practically on on a street, as opposed to a car sitting on a stage on a green screen. I mean, you guys actually shot it out in the street somewhere.
We shot a couple of the exteriors here in the back lot on the Red Square, but a lot of it was done on green screen on this insane sort of catapult-like
gimbal.
Yeah. Exactly. And there's a lot of yelling and screaming by Paul to let us know what's coming at us, and to the left, to the right, and in front of you, and explode, and fire! And there was one take, it was hilarious. It's going to be in the outtakes for sure. We're literally, because when he screams, 180 to the left, and you go left, but you have to go right. You have to lean right. Literally, the whole take, everybody was going in different directions in the car. Kevin was going back, everyone was doing this. That's why we were laughing hysterically. It was so funny.
As the grosses for these go up, and you're bringing new audience members in with each film, what about this film do you think would be the most attractive to someone who hasn't seen any of the prior films?
They've done an amazing job sort of prepping the audience, even in cases where they haven't seen the first 16 movies. so it's sort of a standalone movie as well at the same time. So I think. The action aspect is going to be a huge selling point, I think, because he just has been doing stuff that he hasn't done before, and stuff that blew me away. I was like, wow, and the way it's going to look is going to be incredible. And plus, Paul is a master of using 3D technology to elevate content rather than replace it, because a lot of filmmakers who are not as used to using 3D, 3D becomes sort of like the story point, and I think that's missing the point. I think if you use 3D to elevate a story and to give the movie a certain look that will make it better, I think that's how you're supposed to use 3D, and Paul is a master of that. And so this time around, I think he's just gonna take it to the next level. It's gonna be just exponentially better, bigger.
We heard that a lot of the characters have a good version and a bad version. A lot of dual things. Do you have a good and a bad version?
If I'm bipolar, of course. Yeah, totally, completely. I think my character, everybody's character is flawed to a certain point. I mean, the situations that he puts us through are so just unreal that you always discover new nuances in your character. But in terms of mutants or cloning, my character hasn't been subjected to that yet. But I wouldn't be surprised that in the next movie I'll grow some horns and start eating people or something. Who knows? I don't know.
In terms of storytelling and the horror element, what's the difference in doing a movie like Resident Evil and Nurses that you just did?
Did you hear anything about Nurses?
No. Shot here.
Nurse 3D.
Yeah, Nurse 3D.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I've heard a little bit.
I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, that was interesting. That was very interesting. It's a very completely different movie. If Nurses is like I don't even know what that is. It's like the sociopathic sort of the crime thriller-ish with lots of blood and gore, and Resident Evil, it's fantastic. I mean, it's not of this world. It's post-apocalyptic. It has to do with creatures that no one's ever seen before. So it's a completely different genre. Both is fun. I like to do a variation of things. I don't like to be sort of stuck in one specific genre, because if it's one specific genre, I'll get to play that specific character over and over again. So I was looking forward to doing something different, which I did in Nurse, And obviously Luther is a completely different character for me. I'm sort of usually like the leading man, romantic comedy type guy in the eyes of Hollywood. And so I was really happy to be able to do this.
Are you one of the unfaithful guys the nurse comes after?
We'll see. I played it the detective.
Oh, okay.
Who's after her. Right. Yeah. It's very wild, to say the least.
I would imagine you meet a lot of people that have played the Resident Evil games who want to maybe talk to you. What's things that like fans, when they run into you or talking to you, want to talk about?
Well, after they get over the initial, you know, anger that I wasn't in the videos, in the video games, and they're appalled, usually, that I'm in the movie without being in the video games. After we get over that first hump, and we make up, they're intrigued. You know, they love the movies, so they're excited. And actually, the two creators of the video games, they came to set, and they said that they've gotten a lot of response from people saying that they want to see a Luther character in the video games. So we'll see. Maybe I end up in the video games now.
It is funny how like the people who love the video games and try to hate on the movies wind up saying, I still watch movies anyway.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, that's what this is, the nucleus of their life.
Yeah.
It's all about, I mean, how can we dare to differ from the direction that the video games have, you know, it's hell. You go to those conventions, it's hysterical.
Yeah.
It's literally like it's about life and death. People tearing up and screaming, and it's unbelievable. Yeah. It's very serious. So you have to be very serious when you talk about it.
Are you caught up on the games? I mean, do you know when Paul throws references at you and says, "Okay, this is that"? Yeah. Just had to ask. You never know. Never know who's just a closeted gamer.
Yeah, no. We grew up in Germany, and my mother's a psychologist, and she was completely against any type of video games or anything in the house. It was like totally forbidden. So I never got. You know, I was an athlete. I was always into that. I was never into video games, unfortunately.
The ending of the fourth film has a big setup. It's a big. I'm asking this with everyone. The ending of the fourth film has a.
Okay.
Has a big. It's a big setup. It's a big finale with 100 planes coming in. We've been hearing that the beginning of this film is. It plays a little bit with like the time, if you will. So talk a little bit about how this one opens.
He plays with the time.
Yeah, like Jeremy was saying. Yeah, like it's not as linear as the fourth one. That's what Jeremy was saying. Bolt.
You mean it doesn't? Well, it starts where the last one ends.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the question?
Well, like he was saying that this one moves a little bit. It doesn't have the same linear as the fourth one. That it plays a little.
Oh,
bit
Oh, I see what you mean. I see. It has to do with the mythology as well, because. I think one of the things that I was lucky to be a part of is this sort of new incarnation of Resident Evil. I think starting with Resident Evil 4 is sort of a new franchise, and Paul also says that that he thinks that starting with 4 and 5 and 6 is sort of a new type of Resident Evil, where there's a lot of mythology, there's a lot of secrets that are that are revealed, and other things that people don't understand. And then, and he's also, when he writes, he's also looking forward and he's looking ahead to possible storylines and secrets that might come out in the movie after. So there's a lot of back and forth, and there's a lot of like, is this the real person or not? Or who am I fighting now? And is this a clone? Or,
we've brought up multiple times with multiple people. The sixth one is very much in the mind of everybody mm-hmm. working on it. Have you talked to him about it? Like, does this seem intrinsically connected to that film?
Yeah, it is. I think it's also connected to it just from a you know, economic standpoint, because Sony is very excited about this franchise.
Mm.
And so there were talks, there were actually talks about shooting both of them at the same time, back to back, which they sort of abandoned last minute. But I think
so that script Paul hasn't. Actually exists, or
what's that?
The script for the next one kind of exists.
I don't think he's written it, but I think it's very, very prominent in his head.
Yeah.
And he's told me about it. So I think he already knows in broad strokes what the sixth one is going to look like. Yeah.
Nice.
You guys have been really quiet over there.
Like,
She wants more about the guns.
Yeah, I just like the guns.
She was disappointed.
He doesn't know anything about the guns.
I will say, it seems like you guys have a lot of fun. It seems like there's like a family atmosphere. You go to other sets and it's like hits. And here it seems
Did
like
you go to the nurse set?
There was a set.
You're talking more about your star in Ellen.
Oh, no, don't get me started.
Have you seen her Twitter account?
I'm not talking about her. I don't even remember her.
Just go on Twitter.
Who is that again?
No, well, you guys, it's a 55-day shoot, and obviously you're not in every scene. So what have you been doing in Toronto?
You come with the numbers. 100 planes.
I'm very analytical like that.
I feel like I'm being tested. It's like the SATs all over.
And you are.
How many times have you been to
Right. No, but how have you, and you've filmed in Toronto before. How have you enjoyed the city? What do you recommend to someone who's never been here?
Come to Toronto. I love Toronto. I really do. I think I've traveled all over the world. I've lived everywhere. And I think Toronto is one of the only truly diverse, culturally diverse places in the world. People say New York, but New York is very, everything is sort of, like during the day it looks like it's diverse, but then as soon as the clock strikes 6 p.m., everybody goes in their respective holes. And I think here, you can actually see family portraits with like 5 different ethnicities. And people seem to have figured it out, you know, and the whole world is going to look like this in 50 years, but I love this about Toronto. I love that I can go in different parts of the city and eat different kinds of foods and hear different kind of music, and everybody seems to be open-minded about it and cool, and unless it's, you know, 5 degrees out, it's one of my favorite cities in the world, no doubt. In the summers here, I love it. I really do.
Is there a certain place that you would recommend to people that have never been here?
In Toronto?
Yeah.
Yorkville, beaches, Danforth, I love. What else? I love the theater district. And there's so much culture here, too, which is great. And it's a nice sort of blend between European culture and American sort of principles. It's not as American as the U.S. What's that?
Not very paired country.
Exactly. And you know, education, healthcare system, everything is a little bit better than the States. It's closer to what I'm used to, where I grew up.
So this is obviously going to carry you into the holidays. Do you have anything lined up after the first of the year?
Actually, I'm going to take some time off because my wife is about to star in Streetcar Named Desire on Broadway. Oh, nice. So she's going to play Blanche DuBois. She's going to be there for 4 months, so I'm going to be with the kids in LA and we're going to visit.
Who's playing Stanley?
Blair Underwood is playing Stanley. Yeah. And Wood Harris is playing Mitch, who's also great, you know him from The Wire. He was a big kingpin in The Wire.
Does it follow the film, or it follows the script from the film?
The script,
How's the direction and staging?
It's Emily Mann, who is incredible. If you know anything about theater, she's one of the top directors on Broadway, and she's going right from Tennessee Williams, and I can't wait. I think it's going to be incredible. And it's like, for my wife, it's like, you know, obviously for any actress, it's like a dream role.
The film business is having producing a Broadway show that's even when you get to Broadway, the odds of being successful are 1 in 20 if you're lucky, running for months and months.
Well, actually, you know what? Funny enough, this is going to be the first time in history that it's going to be an African American cast on Broadway. It's never been done before, and we did the same thing 3 years ago with Cat on the Hot Tin Roof, and it was me and James Earl Jones and Giancarlo Esposito from Breaking Bad, and it was tremendously successful. They went right from Broadway to the West End in London, and it's the same producer, so they're hoping it's going to be just as successful.
Are there any new creatures in this film that you're excited to talk
in Streetcar?
Yeah,
Stanley, he mutates halfway through the second act, and there's a couple of very exciting creatures that I can't reveal, otherwise she's going to just jump down my throat.
Well, you put up a picture of
the liquor
claw. How big was it? Because we couldn't get the perspective.
I can't.
I'm
going to be in so much trouble.
Well, let's ask this question. When you put that on Twitter, did all of a sudden you get a few phone calls or people calling you over?
What? I got a lot of phone calls from the studio threatening me to take the picture off Twitter. Yeah. No, the anticipation is definitely amazing and huge. And there's a lot of creatures that we haven't seen before. Some from the video that have been sort of, you know, made bigger. And so it's going to be, I mean, I saw some of the stuff and I was like, wow. Plus with the technology now, I mean, you look at the stuff that's out, it's getting better and better. And it looks really real. And Paul is a master, so I'm sure it's going to be incredible. Stuff that I've seen is incredible.
Were you involved in the Red Square, when they were shooting on Red Square? Were you involved in that?
Yeah.
Talk about shooting on Red Square. That's such an amazing...
Oh, it was cool. It was great. I mean, they pay so much attention to detail. They literally paved the whole... I mean, I don't know how big, like the size of a football field, with cobblestone. And just to duplicate that. And the whole storefront of this Moscow department store. It looks incredible. It's really amazing. And we shot there for a couple of days.
Okay. But on the soundstage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's outside. Yeah, they did.
Oh, okay.
But that was a second unit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is there another question? Otherwise, we're going to wrap it up.
Why do you think the Resident Evil movies have done so well, whereas other video game adaptations by Hollywood haven't?
Good question. I don't think there's a formula. I think it's just a roll of the dice, and I think that. But I also think that Paul is a great storyteller. I think sometimes people rely too much on the video game as a content that will stand alone. I think there has to be certain elements that have to sort of fit to make it come alive. People want to root for somebody. People want to be invested in somebody. I think Mila is a perfect hero to carry this franchise. I mean, she brings everything to the table. Sarah always interrupts me. She always walks through my interviews. She doesn't even know what I'm talking about. Right, Sarah? Yeah, okay. She brings, hardcore kick-assness. That's the word I just made up. She brings... she's sensibility. She brings, layered character. She brings Clint Eastwoodness to the character. So
meaning
she talks like this all the time, which is cool. I made an ass out of myself when we first started rehearsing, because she was doing a thing and I was doing my thing, but I was like 300 times bigger, and I was thinking she was sort of saving it, you know. I was like, she's saving it. But she kept doing it. And I was like, wow. So then I looked at, we went and looked at a take, and I looked like a clown. I was like, I'm going to tone this down real quick. No, she knows what she's doing. I mean, she's incredible. And so she's the anchor, and she pulls it all together. And also this post-apocalyptic thing that people always sort of romanticize about in a way also has to do with it. But I think it's also luck. You never know. You just never know. And I think now that we've sort of gotten to a nice rhythm, and starting with number four, I think people the awareness has changed from just sort of provincial video fans to like a actual general public, that general sort of audience that has been turned onto it,
which is weird because it's usually diminishing returns by the time you get to five.
Yeah, but I think that the video game audience was huge in the beginning, and I think that now it's caught on to general audiences. So it's like you said, it's just been the other way around. So I think it's going to grow. Yeah, and then there's going to be a movie that's called Luther West. 3D. Luther West and Nurse.
Well, very cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's funny.